Welcome to today's lecture, and I need to begin with full transparency. This episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voice you're hearing now. Today's fictional sponsor is CalmSync, a productivity app designed to reduce workplace stress through mindful scheduling, though CalmSync is completely imaginary and not a real product. Please note that some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so I encourage you to verify anything important against reliable sources. Today, we're diving deep into conflict resolution and teamwork, a topic that will fundamentally change how you think about disagreement and collaboration. By the end of this lecture, you'll understand why the most successful teams aren't conflict-free, but conflict-competent. Here's what we'll accomplish together. First, you'll master the precise definitions that separate productive conflict from destructive discord. Second, you'll learn to diagnose the three distinct types of team conflict, and why confusing them leads to failed resolution attempts. Third, we'll examine the systematic approach to conflict resolution, a five-step process that transforms disagreement into collaborative problem solving. Fourth, you'll discover three communication tools that prevent conflicts from escalating: active listening, assertive communication, and iMessages. Finally, we'll explore the Thomas Kilman conflict model, which reveals your personal conflict style and shows you when to adapt it. This isn't just theory. These frameworks will change how you operate in every team setting, from university projects to professional environments. Why does this matter? Because most people fundamentally misunderstand conflict. They see it as failure, something to avoid or quickly suppress. This misconception costs teams their potential for innovation, trust, and high performance. The stakes are higher than you might think. Poor conflict management reduces team trust, creates chronic stress, and damages performance. But here's the counterintuitive truth. When conflict is managed effectively, it actually improves communication, encourages new ideas, and strengthens collaboration. Consider this: every breakthrough innovation, every significant team achievement, every moment of genuine understanding between teammates has emerged from navigating differences successfully. The goal isn't to eliminate conflict, it's to harness its constructive potential. Let's establish our conceptual foundation. First, what exactly is conflict? Conflict occurs when individuals or team members have different opinions, expectations, or needs that create tension or disagreement. Notice what this definition excludes. Conflict isn't necessarily emotional, personal, or destructive. It's simply the natural result of different perspectives encountering each other. The key insight here is that conflict is often not about the issue itself. It's about how people interpret the situation and communicate about it. Here's where most people go wrong. They confuse conflict with hostility. A team debating whether to use a detailed report or a visual presentation format isn't experiencing hostility. They're experiencing task conflict, which can be highly productive if handled correctly. The second crucial concept is conflict resolution. This is the systematic process of addressing disagreements constructively to restore collaboration and achieve shared goals. It's not about winning or losing. It's about transforming difference into collective strength. Most people misuse this term to mean ending disagreement quickly. Real conflict resolution means addressing underlying issues, not just surface symptoms. A team that stops arguing without addressing core concerns hasn't resolved anything. They've merely postponed the inevitable escalation. The third foundational concept is constructive conflict management. This means deliberately channeling disagreement toward improved outcomes, rather than letting it deteriorate into relationship damage or avoidance. The common misunderstanding here is that constructive means polite or gentle. Not necessarily. Constructive conflict can be direct, challenging, even intense, as long as it focuses on issues rather than personalities and maintains respect for all perspectives. Consider this example from the source material. When team members disagree about project deadlines and responsibility distribution, that's process conflict. If handled constructively, this disagreement reveals important information about workload, capabilities, and expectations that improves future planning. Now let's examine active listening, our fourth key concept. Active listening means giving complete attention to understanding another person's perspective, rather than preparing your response or defending your position. The critical error people make is thinking active listening means agreeing or being passive. It doesn't. Active listening is highly active. You're working to comprehend complex viewpoints, asking clarifying questions, and reflecting back what you've understood to confirm accuracy. Here's a concrete example. Instead of interrupting when a teammate explains their concern about timeline pressure, an active listener responds with, "So what I'm hearing is you're concerned about the deadline because of your time zone. Can you help me understand which specific tasks feel most challenging to complete remotely?" The fifth concept is assertive communication, expressing your thoughts, needs, and concerns clearly and respectfully while acknowledging others' perspectives. This sits between aggressive communication, which disregards others, and passive communication, which sacrifices your own needs. People commonly confuse assertive with aggressive. Assertive communication isn't about being forceful or dominant. It's about being direct, honest, and respectful simultaneously. The goal is clarity, not victory. Our sixth concept is I messages, a communication technique that expresses your feelings and needs without blaming others. Instead of saying you never communicate clearly, an I message would be, "I feel confused when I don't receive clear instructions because I want to contribute effectively." The power of I messages lies in their focus on impact rather than intent. They describe how situations affect you without making assumptions about others' motivations. This reduces defensiveness and opens space for productive dialogue. Now we turn to our first major content block: understanding the three types of team conflict and their distinct characteristics. This framework is crucial because misdiagnosing conflict type leads to ineffective resolution strategies. Task conflict involves disagreements about ideas, strategies, or work content. When team members debate whether to write a detailed report or create a visual presentation, they're experiencing task conflict. This type focuses on what should we do? Task conflict is often the most constructive type because it directly addresses work quality and innovation. Teams that engage in healthy task conflict typically produce better outcomes because they've examined multiple approaches before deciding. However, task conflict becomes destructive when it's confused with personal disagreement. If team members interpret different ideas as personal attacks, productive debate transforms into relationship conflict. Process conflict centers on disagreements about roles, responsibilities, deadlines, and workflow. This addresses how should we do it, rather than what should be done. Teams might agree on creating a presentation, but disagree about who handles research versus design. Process conflict often reveals important organizational issues. When team members can't agree on responsibility distribution, it might indicate unclear role definitions, unrealistic timelines, or unequal skill distribution that needs addressing. The danger with process conflict is that it can feel personal even when it's structural. Someone questioning your timeline might seem like they're doubting your capabilities, when they're actually highlighting workload management issues. Relationship conflict involves emotional tension, interpersonal misunderstandings, and situations where people feel disrespected, ignored, or excluded. This is the most damaging type because it attacks the foundation of team collaboration, trust, and mutual respect. Relationship conflict often emerges from task or process conflicts that were handled poorly. When someone's idea is dismissed without consideration, or when role assignments feel arbitrary, the underlying issue becomes personal. In online communication, relationship conflict frequently develops from tone misinterpretation. A brief, direct message might be intended as efficient, but received as rude or dismissive, creating emotional tension that affects future interactions. Here's the crucial insight. Understanding these conflict types helps you address root causes rather than symptoms. What appears to be relationship conflict might actually be unresolved process issues that need structural solutions. Now let's examine why conflicts develop in the first place. The source material identifies five primary causes that operate independently or in combination to create team tension. First, misunderstanding occurs when people interpret information differently or make assumptions about intentions or meanings. Small misunderstandings compound quickly because people build subsequent interactions on incorrect initial interpretations. Consider this scenario. A team member sends a message saying, "We need to discuss the timeline." One person interprets this as concern about delays, another as criticism of their work pace, and a third as general information sharing. Each responds based on their interpretation, creating confusion. Second, poor communication encompasses unclear messages, insufficient information sharing, and ineffective listening. When communication breaks down, people fill information gaps with assumptions, often negative ones. Poor communication isn't just about unclear expression, It also includes poor reception. Even clear messages create conflict if recipients aren't actively listening or are interpreting through emotional filters created by stress or past experiences. Third, differences in values or goals create fundamental tension about priorities and success measures. When team members aren't aligned on what matters most, every decision becomes a potential conflict point. For example, one team member might prioritize thorough research and accuracy, while another emphasizes meeting deadlines and practical implementation. Neither approach is wrong, but without explicit discussion, their different priorities will create ongoing friction. Fourth, personality clashes reflect different working styles, communication preferences, and problem-solving approaches. Some people prefer detailed planning, while others adapt as they go. Some communicate directly, while others use indirect approaches. The key insight here is that personality differences aren't inherently problematic. They become conflicts when people expect others to work like they do or interpret different styles as wrong rather than different. Fifth, stress amplifies all other conflict causes by reducing people's emotional regulation and increasing reactive responses. Under pressure, people communicate less carefully, listen less actively, and interpret ambiguous situations more negatively. Stress also reduces flexibility and creativity in problem solving. Teams under pressure often default to fight or flight responses rather than collaborative approaches, making minor disagreements feel like major threats. Understanding these causes reveals that conflict isn't usually one isolated issue. It's typically several small factors combining to create bigger problems. This means effective resolution requires addressing multiple contributing factors, not just the surface disagreement. Let's pause for active recall. I want you to mentally retrieve what we've just covered. First question, what are the three types of team conflict and how do they differ in their focus? Take a moment to think through your answer before I continue. The answer? Task conflict focuses on what should be done, ideas, strategies, and work content. Process conflict focuses on how work should be done, roles, responsibilities, and workflow. Relationship conflict involves emotional tension and interpersonal dynamics. Second question, what's the difference between misunderstanding and poor communication as conflict causes? Consider this carefully. They're related but distinct. The answer? Misunderstanding occurs when people interpret the same information differently or make incorrect assumptions. Poor communication involves unclear messages, insufficient information sharing, or ineffective listening. It's about the quality of information exchange rather than interpretation. Third question, why is relationship conflict considered the most damaging type, and how does it typically develop from other conflict types? The answer? Relationship conflict attacks the foundation of team collaboration, e.g., trust, and mutual respect. It typically develops when task or process conflicts are handled poorly, causing people to feel disrespected, ignored, or personally attacked rather than seeing disagreement as work-focused. Now we turn to our second major content block, the systematic approach to conflict resolution, and the three essential communication tools. This is where theory becomes practical skill. The five-step conflict resolution process provides structure for transforming disagreement into collaboration. Without systematic approach, people tend to react emotionally or default to habitual responses that may not fit the situation. Step one is understand the problem. Before attempting solutions, you must clearly identify what the actual issue is. The surface problem often masks deeper concerns, and addressing symptoms while ignoring root causes ensures the conflict will resurface. This step requires genuine curiosity rather than judgment. Instead of assuming you understand the problem based on initial complaints, investigate all perspectives to discover what's really happening beneath the surface disagreement. Step two is assess the situation by examining contributing factors and context. What circumstances are influencing this conflict? Are there time pressures, resource constraints, unclear expectations, or communication breakdowns that need addressing? Assessment also includes understanding the stakes. Is this a minor preference difference or a fundamental disagreement about project direction? The resolution approach should match the situation's significance and complexity. Step three involves one-on-one conversations rather than group discussions. This creates psychological safety and reduces performative behavior that can escalate conflicts in group settings. Individual conversations allow people to express concerns more honestly, admit mistakes or uncertainties they might not acknowledge publicly, and explore solutions without fear of losing face in front of the whole team. Step 4 is establishing common ground by identifying shared goals and values. Even when people disagree about methods or priorities, they usually share larger objectives like project success, team effectiveness, or professional growth. Focusing on shared goals shifts the frame from us versus them to us versus the problem. It reminds conflicting parties that they're collaborators working toward common outcomes, not adversaries competing for victory. Step 5 involves developing solutions collaboratively. This means discussing multiple options and finding approaches that address everyone's core concerns, rather than simply compromising or declaring winners and losers. Effective solutions often emerge from creative problem solving that transcends the original positions. Instead of choosing between two approaches, teams might discover third options that incorporate the best elements of each perspective. Now let's examine the three communication tools that make this process effective. First, active listening transforms conflict dynamics by shifting focus from defending positions to understanding perspectives. Active listening requires giving speakers complete attention rather than preparing counterarguments while they talk. This means temporarily suspending your own agenda to fully comprehend what others are communicating. The key elements include not interrupting, reflecting, and paraphrasing to confirm understanding, and asking clarifying questions. For example, can you help me understand? When you say the timeline is unrealistic, are you concerned about the overall deadline or specific milestone dates? Active listening also involves recognizing emotional content, not just factual information. When someone expresses frustration about deadlines, they might be communicating anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, or concern about quality standards. The second tool is assertive communication, the balanced approach between aggressive and passive communication styles. Assertive communication expresses your needs clearly while respecting others' perspectives and maintaining relationship quality. Key principles include being clear and direct without being blaming or attacking, focusing on specific behaviors or situations rather than personality characteristics, and expressing your needs without dismissing others' concerns. Consider these contrasts. Aggressive communication might say, "You're being unreasonable about this deadline." Passive communication might say nothing while harboring resentment. Assertive communication would say, "I'm concerned about meeting this deadline with our current resources. Can we discuss how to make it more achievable?" The third tool is EI messages, which express feelings and needs without creating defensiveness. Instead of, "You never share information on time," an I message would be, "I feel unprepared when I receive information at the last minute because I need time to do quality work." Shy messages work because thus they describe impact rather than making accusations about intent. They focus on your experience rather than the other person's behavior, creating space for problem solving rather than defensive responses. The structure is, "I feel emotion when situation because reason need." This format keeps communication focused on finding solutions rather than assigning blame or making character judgments. These tools work synergistically. Active listening helps you understand others' perspectives. Assertive communication helps you express your needs clearly, and I messages help you do so without triggering defensive reactions. Let's pause again for active recall. This time I want you to connect across both content blocks. First question, how do the 5 conflict resolution steps address the different conflict types we discussed earlier? The answer, understanding the problem helps identify whether you're dealing with task, process, or relationship conflict. Assessment reveals contributing factors specific to each type. Individual conversations work especially well for relationship conflicts that might escalate in group settings. Common ground works for all types by refocusing on shared objectives. Solution development can address task content, process structure, or relationship repair depending on the conflict type. Second question, why might active listening be especially important for preventing task conflict from becoming relationship conflict? The answer, when people feel heard and understood, they're less likely to interpret disagreement about ideas as personal attacks. Active listening demonstrates respect for the person, even when you disagree with their position, keeping the focus on work content rather than personal worth. Third question, how do I messages specifically address the misunderstanding and poor communication causes of conflict we identified earlier? The answer, I messages prevent misunderstanding by clearly communicating your perspective and needs, rather than making assumptions about others' intentions. They improve communication quality by being specific, non-blaming, and focused on finding solutions rather than proving points. Now let's address the most common misconceptions students have about team conflict resolution. These misconceptions undermine effectiveness and prevent teams from reaching their collaborative potential. Misconception 1, conflict indicates team failure or dysfunction. This is completely wrong. Conflict is natural and inevitable when different perspectives work together. Teams without any conflict are often either avoiding important discussions or lacking diverse viewpoints. The correct understanding is that successful teams aren't conflict-free. They're conflict-competent. They know how to handle disagreements constructively and use them to improve outcomes rather than damage relationships. Misconception 2. The goal of conflict resolution is to make everyone happy or reach consensus on everything. This is impossible and unnecessary. Some conflicts reflect legitimate differences in priorities or approaches that don't require unanimous agreement. The correct approach is finding solutions that address core concerns and allow effective collaboration, even when people maintain different preferences or perspectives on less critical issues. Misconception 3, avoiding conflict preserves relationships and team harmony. This is backward. Avoiding conflict allows problems to compound until they become much larger and more damaging than they would have been if addressed early. Healthy relationships require working through difficulties together. Teams that avoid conflict often develop passive-aggressive dynamics, resentment, and reduced trust, exactly the opposite of what avoidance is meant to achieve. Misconception 4. Assertive communication means being aggressive or confrontational. This confuses directness with hostility. Assertive communication can be gentle, collaborative, and respectful while still being clear about needs and concerns. The distinction is crucial. Aggressive communication attacks the person, while assertive communication addresses the situation. You can be firm about your needs while remaining kind and considerate toward others. Misconception 5. Good conflict resolution means everyone compromises equally. This mechanical approach often produces solutions that satisfy no one and fail to address underlying issues effectively. Better resolution often involves creative problem solving that meets different people's core needs in different ways rather than splitting differences down the middle. Sometimes one person's approach is genuinely better, and recognizing that serves everyone's interests. Final misconception. Conflict resolution is a personality trait. Some people are naturally good at it, while others aren't. This is false and harmful because it prevents people from developing these crucial skills. Conflict resolution is a learnable skill set that improves with practice and reflection. Everyone can become more effective at managing disagreements constructively, regardless of their starting point or personality type. Let's do our final active recall session, drawing on everything we've covered. First question. A team is struggling with deadline conflicts, with some members insisting on thorough research while others push for quick implementation. Using our frameworks, how would you diagnose and approach this conflict? The answer. This appears to be task conflict focused on different values. Thoroughness versus efficiency. Apply the 5-step process. Understand that both perspectives serve legitimate purposes. Assess whether timeline or resource constraints are driving the tension. Have individual conversations to understand each person's concerns. Establish common ground around project success. And develop solutions that might include phased approaches or role differentiation that honors both values. Second question. Why might someone with an avoiding conflict style struggle in team environments, and how could understanding this help their teammates work with them more effectively? The answer. Avoiders might fear confrontation, worry about damaging relationships, or come from cultural backgrounds that discourage direct disagreement. Teammates can help by creating safe spaces for input, asking specific questions rather than waiting for voluntary contributions, using written communication that allows processing time and demonstrating that disagreement can be respectful and productive. Third question. How do the 3 communication tools work together to prevent relationship conflict from developing when task or process conflicts arise? The answer. Active listening prevents people from feeling dismissed when their ideas are challenged. Assertive communication allows clear expression of different viewpoints without personal attacks. And iMessages help people express concerns about work issues without creating defensiveness. Together, they maintain respect and understanding even during disagreement. Now let's step back and examine the deeper structural logic that unifies everything we've covered. At its core, effective conflict resolution rests on a fundamental insight. Disagreement is information, not attack. When someone disagrees with your approach, they're providing data about different perspectives, alternative possibilities, or concerns you might not have considered. This reframe transforms conflict from threat to resource. The Thomas Kilman conflict model reveals this deeper structure through its two dimensions, assertiveness and cooperativeness. These aren't just personality preferences. They're strategic choices about how to balance your needs with others' needs in specific situations. Competing style combines high assertiveness with low cooperativeness. This works when quick decisions are needed, when you have expertise others lack, or when fundamental principles are at stake. It fails when you need buy-in, when relationships matter long-term, or when others have valuable perspectives you're missing. Avoiding style combines low assertiveness with low cooperativeness. This works when issues are trivial, when emotions are too high for productive discussion, or when you need time to gather information. It fails when problems compound over time or when your input is necessary for good decisions. Accommodating style combines low assertiveness with high cooperativeness. This works when maintaining relationships is more important than the specific outcome, when you realize you're wrong, or when others have stronger stakes in the decision. It fails when your expertise is needed or when accommodating enables poor decisions. Compromising style balances, moderate assertiveness with moderate cooperativeness. This works when parties have roughly equal power and competing interests, when time is limited, or when partial solutions are acceptable. It fails when creative solutions are possible or when the issue requires full commitment from everyone. Collaborating style combines high assertiveness with high cooperativeness. This works when issues are complex, when you need creative solutions, when buy-in is crucial, or when relationships matter long-term. It fails when time is extremely limited or when the stakes don't justify the effort required. The deeper insight is that effective conflict management requires strategic flexibility, choosing your approach based on situation analysis rather than defaulting to habitual responses. Here's where the unresolved tensions lie. The source material emphasizes collaboration as generally superior, but real organizational life often involves power differences, resource constraints, and time pressures that complicate purely collaborative approaches. Another tension exists between individual conflict styles and team needs. Someone naturally inclined toward avoiding might need to be more assertive in certain team roles, while natural competitors might need to develop collaborative skills. The framework also assumes that conflict parties share enough common ground to make resolution possible. But what happens when fundamental value differences or resource scarcity makes collaboration genuinely impossible? The source material doesn't fully address these harder cases. Cultural dimensions add another layer of complexity. The communication tools presented reflect Western individualistic communication norms that emphasize directness and explicit expression. These approaches might need adaptation in cultures that prioritize indirect communication, face-saving, or hierarchical deference. Finally, there's tension between the ideal of systematic conflict resolution and the emotional reality of human disagreement. The five-step process assumes rational actors can pause, assess, and choose optimal responses, but stress, ego, and past experiences often override systematic thinking. These tensions don't invalidate the frameworks. They show you where to apply them thoughtfully rather than mechanically, and where you might need additional skills or approaches beyond what we've covered. Now let's focus on what matters most for assessment. Exam questions typically test three areas: conflict type identification, communication tool application, and conflict style analysis using the Thomas Kilman model. For conflict identification, you'll likely receive scenarios and need to determine whether the primary issue is task, process, or relationship conflict. The key is identifying what people are actually disagreeing about beneath surface complaints. Task conflict questions focus on ideas, strategies, or work content. Process conflict involves workflow, roles, or procedures. Relationship conflict includes emotional tension or interpersonal dynamics. Don't be thrown by scenarios where multiple types are present. Identify the primary driver, communication tool. Questions often ask you to rewrite aggressive or passive statements using assertive communication or I messages. Practice the specific formats. Assertive communication that's direct but respectful, I messages that express impact without blame. For Thomas Kilman questions, you'll analyze scenarios to identify which conflict style someone is using, or recommend appropriate styles for different situations. Remember that effective style choice depends on context, not personality. Common mistakes that cost marks: confusing conflict types by focusing on surface emotions rather than underlying issues. Writing I messages that are actually disguised blame statements. Recommending collaboration for every situation without considering time constraints or stakes. And describing conflict styles as personality traits rather than strategic choices. Another frequent error is treating the five-step resolution process as a rigid checklist rather than a flexible framework. Examiners want to see that you understand when steps might be combined, repeated, or adapted based on situation complexity. Essay questions often ask you to analyze complex team scenarios using multiple frameworks. The strongest answers integrate conflict type analysis, resolution steps, communication tools, and style considerations into coherent assessment and recommendations. When analyzing scenarios, always consider cultural context, power dynamics, and resource constraints that might influence appropriate approaches. Sophisticated answers acknowledge these complicating factors rather than applying frameworks mechanically. Let me walk you through a representative problem step by step. Scenario: a project team is struggling because one member consistently misses deadlines while another member openly criticizes their work quality in team meetings, leading to heated exchanges that make other members uncomfortable. Step one in analysis: identify conflict types. There's process conflict about deadlines and work standards, but it's escalated into relationship conflict due to public criticism creating emotional tension and affecting team dynamics. Step two, assess underlying causes. Possible factors include unclear expectations about quality standards, unrealistic deadlines, skill gaps, poor time management, or communication breakdown about priorities. Step three, recommend resolution approach. Start with individual conversations to understand each person's perspective and concerns. Establish common ground around project success and respectful collaboration. Then develop solutions that address both performance standards and communication norms. Step four, suggest communication tools. The critical team member needs to learn assertive communication instead of public criticism, possibly using I messages to express concerns constructively. The team needs active listening to understand different perspectives on quality and timeline expectations. This type of integrated analysis demonstrates mastery of multiple concepts working together to address complex team dynamics rather than simply applying isolated tools. For memory consolidation, here's the essential structure you must hold in your head. Three conflict types: task, process, relationship. Five resolution steps: understand, assess, discuss individually, find common ground, develop solutions. Three communication tools: active listening, assertive communication, I messages. The organizing framework is the two-dimensional Thomas Kilman model with assertiveness and cooperativeness, creating five strategic approaches: competing, avoiding, accommodating, compromising, and collaborating. Your memory anchor should be this core insight: successful teams aren't conflict-free. They're conflict competent. They treat disagreement as information and opportunity rather than threat and failure. Use this structural metaphor. Think of conflict as the friction that either wears down machinery or polishes metal to brilliance. The difference lies in how you manage the process. With deliberate skill and appropriate tools, friction becomes refinement. The single most important idea in this entire lecture is this: conflict resolution isn't about eliminating disagreement. It's about transforming difference into collective intelligence. When you understand that conflict contains valuable information about different perspectives, unmet needs, and improvement opportunities, you stop seeing it as something to avoid or quickly suppress and start seeing it as raw material for better solutions. This shift in mindset changes everything. Instead of dreading team disagreements, you'll approach them with curiosity and systematic tools. Instead of taking different opinions personally, you'll mine them for insights that strengthen outcomes. Here's what to do next. First, reread the source material with particular attention to the specific examples of each communication tool in action. Practice translating aggressive and passive statements into assertive communication and I messages until the formats become automatic. Second, reflect on your own conflict style using the Thomas Kilman framework. Identify situations where your default approach serves you well and situations where you need to develop flexibility. Hold this question in mind as you continue studying. In your next team interaction, how can you apply these frameworks to transform inevitable disagreement into collaborative strength? The answer will deepen your mastery and transform your effectiveness as a team member and leader.